This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. This week marks the anniversary of the 1979 Iranian Revolution. KUOW's Jeannie Yandel has more.
36 years ago, Ayatollah Khomeini returned to Iran from exile. His return marked the end of Iran's rule by monarchy and the beginning of Iran's fundamentalist Islamic regime. That audio is from February 1st, 1979, the day Ayatollah Khomeini landed in Iran. Many Iranians were happy to see him return, but many others were not. And if you were part of the 1% of Iranians who are not Muslim, chances are you were afraid.
Around the world, we watched it on television. We saw our personal friends literally flee the country. So it was traumatic and it was painful, especially for the Baha'is.
That's Zabina Van Ness, executive director of the Washington State Baha'i History Museum. Baha'is are the largest religious minority in Iran. They believe messengers from many religions, Buddha to Muhammad to Jesus, all come from the same God. Baha'is in Iran have never been treated well by the Iranian government. But after Khomeini took over, it got worse.
The first thing that happened, I remember, our parents, they lost their jobs. Because we were Baha'i.
Mitra Zarakhani was 11 years old when Khomeini came to power. And even as her family of six struggled to put food on the table, Mitra Zarakhani thought, we can change this.
Do you know, when you are a child or young, you think you are full of power and you can make lots of change. But little by little, the life became tough for everybody. So we had some people that they were in jail, some people who lost their life, and some young generation that they didn't know how they need to decide for their future.
As Mitra Zarakhani got older, she realized things weren't changing fast enough for her family to feel safe. At that point, she had kids of her own. So with their future in mind, Mitra left for the U.S. Now she works at Bellevue's Jewish Family Service. That's a nonprofit that serves immigrants and refugees. A lot of her clients are Baha'i. And aside from their faith, Mitra says she and her clients share an important thing in common, a desire for education. In Iran, the only way Baha'is could get advanced education is by doing it illegally. There's a whole network of underground Baha'i universities in Iran. Mitra Zarakhani went to one herself. She told me it's not anything like an American university experience.
So all classes was in the home, people home. And the other problem was there was no internet and computer. And if we have some question, we need to send it by the letter to the professor. And they write it down, answer it, and send it back to us. It was very hard, but for us that we didn't have any chance, that was a big chance. That was lots of fun, and we were very, very interested about it.
How dangerous was it for you at the time to be a student at that underground university?
We could not share it with anybody. So if I go out with my friend and they asking me, for example, I spend time more with them, and I tell them, oh, I can't, I need to go back home, I need to do something. I could not talk with anybody about it. We were so careful, or we were, sometimes I was worried about the mail that I sent to them, or they send it back to me, if they open it, if they found out what is it. So many, many people would be in trouble.
Why was it so important to you to take that risk? Why was education so important that you decided to take that big risk?
I don't know, maybe when somebody forbidden you for something, you are more thirsty for that. I don't know. Maybe that was the reason.
The universal 18-year-old right there.
Yeah. So that was, I knew that I believe education is very important. I mean, not that when you have education, you have better job or better money. No, I'm talking about when you have education, you can think better to the world and to your life. You have an open mind. Of course, when you have an open mind, you can have a better generation for this world.
One of the other things you found out when you got here was that you could continue your education, too. How did you find that out?
I found out that first when I arrived, I thought this is a chance just for my kids to have education and I need to work. And then I found out that I have a chance to go to college and government will support me. I just thought, okay, there is a big chance for me. I couldn't believe it. I'm so thirsty for that. And that's happened in here. So right away, without thinking about anything, I passed the assessment test and I start my college. And I think for some student like us, it's not very hard to study, because we had that hard experience. So in here, when you see a lovely, kind professor come to your class and everything is prepared, just you need to sit there and study, and still government support you for your study. Why should not?
I'm talking with Mitra Zarkani. She works with Jewish Family Services on the East Side in Bellevue. She and her family moved here from Iran 6 years ago. On occasion, you get to go back home. You go back to Iran to visit your mom, to visit the rest of your family. What's it like for you now when you go back?
However, it's my country, it's my home. I love it. First, for family. And when I go there, I see my parents, my family, my friends. They are lovely. They are so good. I really take lots of energy when I come back. But many times when I'm there, I'm just compare what my family have in United States and what we don't have in Iran. I see many, many smart youth. They are very, oh my God, I don't know how to say how, without nothing, they have lots of knowledge, how they running to have better things and better life. And when I compare this, sometimes maybe I encourage them to do same as the way I did. Sometimes make me to cry.
What would it take for you to go back to Iran permanently?
So most is, I think, it's a big part of my life. I cannot ignore it and don't care about it. Sometimes you cannot believe when nostalgia is not a good thing. Sometimes with a smell in United States just take you to your childhood time, to the street, to the Tehran, to the home, to your mom. Sometimes you don't believe it. I miss for the street, for the people who are running in the street. So I'm thinking maybe in future I go back when I make sure my kids have a good situation in here and everything is fine about them. I go back and maybe I can be helpful.
If you got the chance to sit down with the current president of Iran to talk with him about education, what would you say to him? How would you advise him?
I will tell him maybe this is not a very big request. It's 37 years something, I don't know exactly, passing from revolution of Iran. And maybe they try to stop us about any progress that was our right to have it. That was our right to have it. And if they try to stop it, they were not successful. They need to make some change in their beliefs. They need to stop this, open the doors for all youth, Baha'i, any religion, to have the right to have education. If they have education, they're going to build their country. This is not a lot. This is just a small right of humanity.
Mitra Zarkani, an employment specialist at Jewish Family Services on the East Side. She spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel. This is The Record.